Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Come right over. Chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Emor, but really is for Yom HaZikaron, which is when this is being recorded, and Yom HaAtzma'ut, which begins tonight. Recording and first availability, as I've already mentioned, is Wednesday, the 3rd of ER 5779, corresponding this year to May 8th. I will add parenthetically that May 8th is the birthday of Harry Truman and Golda Meir, which I've always found an interesting pair to share a birthday. But they were both involved around the time of the establishment of the state. What else am I supposed to say now? I think that's about it. But let me start with a background here. Actually, let's do Tehillim Kuf Lamed. I'm impacted here, conflicted. How about Psalm 121, Kuf Kuf Aleph? And both of them need to be said. We're going to say 121, which is my custom on days when we don't say Tachanun, or times when we don't say Tachanun, which is now, because even though it's Yom HaZikaron, it is the eve of Yom HaAtzma'ut. So, let us do it. Still looking. And here it is. Shir lama alot, esu inai el heharim et me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim v'oretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmoret nafshecha. Adonai yishmoret seitecha uvoecha. Me'ata v'yad olam. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara v'ashiviyahom edim v'bein bayam v'bein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara l'yirvacha u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'gu'ula hashta ba'gala v'zman kariv v'nomar amen. Okay, let's see how this comes out for what I want to say. A decision was made a long time ago in the state of Israel that Yom HaAtzma'ut, Independence Day, would be preceded by Yom HaZikaron L'Chayelei Tzahal, a memorial day for the soldiers that have fallen in all of the battles and incursions from before statehood till today. It was added to that day here by also commemorating the deaths, the murders, of victims of terror. And even though a soldier who falls in battle is on one side of the picture and a victim is on the other side of the picture, the common denominator is a Jew who dies because he's a Jew, who either gives up his life willingly or against his wishes, is considered a kadosh, a holy being. And we need to honor the memory of the Kedoshim, of those who gave up their lives and or lost their lives. Last week, we marked Yom HaShoah for the victims of the Holocaust. And Yom HaZikaron is specifically focused on, as I mentioned, the soldiers that have fallen and the victims of Arab terror. Now, just a technical point. the original Yom HaAtzma'ut was on the 5th day of Iyar. And early on, the beginning, the late 50s, when it fell on Shabbat or Friday, the situation was noticed that there was Chilul Shabbat, desecration of Shabbat, by the people taking apart all of the flags and the banners and the seats and all the different ceremonies. And a decision was made to move Yom HaAtzma'ut back to Thursday. Later, fairly recently, it was realized that when it falls on Monday, the 5th of Iyar, then Sunday and Saturday night, Motzoi Shabbat, is Yom HaZikaron. And again, because of preparation for ceremonies that begin right after Shabbat, there was desecration of the Shabbat before it ended. And a decision was made to bump Yom HaAtzma'ut to Tuesday. The irony of the whole situation is that Yom HaAtzma'ut is capable of falling on 4 days a week. If it fall, it can fall on Monday, cannot fall on Sunday. If it falls on Monday, we observe it on Tuesday. If it falls on Wednesday, because it can't fall on Tuesday on its own, then that's the one time when we mark it on the 5th of Iyar. On that Wednesday, we don't move it anywhere. If it cannot fall on Thursday on its own, the 5th of Iyar, but it can fall on Friday or Shabbat, in which case we pull it back. And it, what we end up with is some years observing Yom HaAtzma'ut on the 3rd of Iyar, sometimes on the 4th of Iyar, sometimes on the 5th of Iyar, and sometimes on the 6th of Iyar. Now, a very important decision was made way back, and I personally am wholeheartedly in agreement with it and thrilled that that's the way that people went. And I don't know which bodies were the ones to do it, but it was a combination of the chief rabbinate and the Knesset. It would have been logical, reasonable to suggest that the 5th of Iyar, no matter what day it falls on, should be observed as a religious holiday as it is observed in religious Zionist communities. And that means, doesn't matter if it falls on Friday or Shabbat, we're not worried about Chilul Shabbat. You would have Hallel, you would have the Psukei de Zimra on Friday, even of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And whatever else you do, you would do that on whatever day the 5th of Iyar falls. If you want to take the national observance of Yom HaAtzma'ut in the fear of Chilul Shabbat, then it's a good idea to bump it from Monday to Tuesday and to pull it back from Friday and Shabbat to Thursday. But they didn't do that. They said, we are one people, one nation, one state of Israel, and it doesn't matter in this case whether you're religious or not religious. Yom HaAtzma'ut is a day of national / religious significance. And to split those, I believe, would be bad, would be a tragedy. And they didn't. And I have no qualms about saying Hallel this year, even though tomorrow is the 4th day of Iyar. And I have no qualms when it's going to be the 6th, and I have no qualms when it's pulled back to the 3rd, and even when it's on the 5th like it belongs. That's the way Yom HaAtzma'ut has evolved, and I think that's a very important idea, that religious and non-religious are observing the national holiday of Yom HaAtzma'ut on the same day. Religious people see this, the state, as a gift from God. And if the non-religious people don't feel that way, although probably many of them do, then they don't express their feelings in a religious way, but they nonetheless are very happy and proud to celebrate the Independence Day of Israel. I'll get back to that in a moment, maybe. Let's go back now to Yom HaZikaron. There was a proposal, there has been a proposal, that Memorial Day for the soldiers should not be connected with Yom HaAtzma'ut. It sort of dampens the mood of Yom HaAtzma'ut. And the decision was made that in order for Yom HaAtzma'ut, this is the way I see it, in order for Yom HaAtzma'ut to have a spiritual value beyond a fireworks and bopping people on the head with inflated hammers and baseball bats, it needs the connection to the cost in lives and the continued cost in lives. So at the expense of a little melancholy as Yom HaAtzma'ut begins, because of the seriousness in this country and hopefully other places of Yom HaZikaron, that to me is a good trade-off for the whole picture. And the whole picture would not be there if we just celebrated statehood without relating to the loss of lives, which are significant for us. So that's the fact. Yom HaZikaron began last night at sundown. At 8 o'clock in the evening, there was a siren where people are expected to stand still and to ponder the significance of the day. There was a siren this morning again at 10 o'clock. That's the practice here on Yom HaZikaron. There are many shuls who added a yizkor and a kail mole for the fallen soldiers this morning. We did it here at the Israel Center, OU Israel Center at Mincha. And this sort of like allows you to transit into the festive day that begins this evening. The OU Israel is having a gala festive tefillah chagigit, as it's called, festive davening of Ma'ariv at the first station, which is one of the more recent hotspots. And based on last year, we had, I think, close to 1,000 people, and we'll see what we get this evening. But it's a beautiful davening. We say Hallel tonight without a bracha, which sort of was a compromise, but I won't get into that. And tomorrow morning at the OU Israel Center itself, we have our traditional festive shacharit, 8 o'clock in the morning. Just for your information, unless there happens to be somebody who is here listening and will be able to come because you didn't know about it otherwise. And we have Rabbi Neil Winkler, who will be davening and laning, and we have Rabbi Nachman Kahana, who will be giving like a drasha, and there'll be other divrei Torah, followed by refreshments, sponsored by Roseanne Polanski in honor of her birthday, which is the 5th of Iyar. And hopefully it should be a very meaningful day. This is followed, of course, by the national custom of Mangal. Hold on. Didn't really mean to say hold on to you, but I left it in. Anyway, Mangal is a barbecue, and the irony of it, I did a little checking, is Mangal is not a Hebrew word. It happens to be Turkish. My guess is that it came into use back in the time of the Ottoman Empire. And it stuck, and it became the Hebrew word, even though, according to the Academy of the Hebrew Language, Academia Lashon HaYivrit, there is a real Hebrew word for barbecue, which is matzleh, mem tzadi lamed hey. The word tzli is in there, roasting. And I don't recommend anyone use it, because nobody will know what you're talking about. Sort of similar to going to a fruit store and asking for a bunch of Mo's, where they will give you a weird look, until you say banana, which is not Hebrew, but that's the word that people use. It's a lot of fun sometimes to find these Hebrew words that nobody uses, and antenna is one of them, and I even forgot it. Lobby of a hotel has a name, and all of those. Anyway, back on track. Where exactly it started, probably it's a borrowing from the United States or from other countries of having a barbecue on Independence Day, but it is a national pastime, and many religious people participate in them as well as plain Zionists, we'll call them. Okay, so that's the story. Now, I don't really want to get into the issue of what about the religious people who don't observe Yom HaAtzmaut, but I will tell you an anecdote, which probably I've told you before. A number of years ago, there was a Pashkavili. A Pashkavili is a large, very large sheet of paper with printing on it that makes public announcements, and they're pasted on bulletin boards and on walls and on lampposts where they shouldn't be and all over the place. This one was in English, which is rare, and it was in Kiryat Sefer, also known as Modi'in Elit. It said there that people should contact Yated Ne'eman, which is a Haredi newspaper, and petition them to stop featuring Rabbi Zev Leff's column. He has a weekly column, and even though he sort of fits the mold of who should be writing in Yated Ne'eman, this group was against it because he teaches at the Israel Center. So the announcement was signed by the Committee for the Preservation of Pure Haredism. And I called up the phone number, did not say who I was. They didn't ask me. I said, what's wrong with the Israel Center? Immediately, the guy answers three things. The first two are about individuals who have lectured at the centers and were known to be associated with, let's call them, anti-Haredi places, but that's not important. The third reason he gave me surprised me and also thrilled me a little, I have to admit, and that is, it said in Torah Tidbits that a Jew who does not thank God for the state of Israel is blind. And that's anti-Haredi, he tells me. Okay, that conversation finished, and I did some thinking about it, and actually, for this week's Torah Tidbits, I wrote a little bit about it. And I said the following. If we're talking about saying Hallel, introducing a new holiday, saying it with a bracha, without a bracha, with skipping, without skipping, at night, during the morning, I don't want to discuss that because there are opinions on all sides of that issue. And I don't believe that they are all motivated by pure analysis of halacha. I think many of them are motivated by the politics involved. So let's leave that. I didn't say anything about that. I didn't say about changing the davening, although I do. We do here. I said thanking God for the state of Israel. And I believe that any Jew who does not see that the state of Israel is a gift from God to the Jewish people is literally, not literally, figuratively blind. One example, the famous story of the ship called the St. Louis. Hitler, very clever move on his part, sent a ship with almost 1,000 Jews and said, you're free to go, provided you have some place to go to. And the ship went from port to port to port, including the United States, and not one single country, even though they knew what was going on in Europe, would take them in. And they ended up going back to Europe and most of them were annihilated. In 1948, with the establishment, until 1948, after World War II, Britain, the British Mandate, controlled Palestine and applied a quota to Jews. There were shiploads of Jews, refugees from Europe, who tried to come to Eretz Yisrael, and they were turned away. Some of them were sent to an internment camp in Cyprus, and others were just turned away. With the establishment of the State of Israel on the 5th of Iyar, 5708, 1948, May 14th, the doors to Eretz Yisrael were opened and remain open to this very day to any and all Jews who want to come here. We've been accused of many things because of this, but the fact is, this is the Jewish homeland, and a Jew has certain rights when he comes. In my book, with all of its flaws, the State of Israel, by doing what it's doing for Jewish immigration, has earned our gratitude, should have earned our gratitude, which goes partially and maybe major to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. And when we say in Hallel, Zeh Hayom, Oso Hashem, this is a day that God made, Nagila v'nismechavo, we will rejoice and be happy on that day. We are supposed to and should mean it with a full heart. If I say we, I'm talking about me and people like me. And I'm not apologizing for it. And I've heard enough times people say, well, Chabal, that Yom Ha'atzmaut is in Sfirat HaOmer, because otherwise I would observe it, but it's in the Omer, and how can I observe it, which is baloney. And I have a whole argument against that. And I almost believe that maybe God was sort of testing us to see if we would accept Yom Ha'atzmaut with the proper Hakarat HaTov, gratitude to God, even though it's marked in the middle of Sfirat HaOmer. In fact, I'll go you one step further. The period between Pesach and Shavuot was originally a semi-festive time. From the Beit HaMikdash, gift of the Omer HaTenufah on the second day of Pesach, until the two loaves, the Shtei HaLechem of Shavuot, there was an excited counting from one to the other. It also relates to the counting from the Exodus from Egypt and the receiving of the Torah. And it was a cause for some kind of cholamoid type of mood. With the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, we stopped bringing the Omer, and we stopped bringing the Shtei HaLechem, among everything else. And many authorities felt that the counting of the Omer is now hollow. And they relegated it to be continued as a rabbinic command in commemoration of the Beit HaMikdash, which will only be restored to its full Torah-level mitzvah when we have a Beit HaMikdash, the Omer, and the Shtei HaLechem among them. The Rambam writes that there was a counting of the Omer before there was an Omer and before there was a Shtei HaLechem. When Bnei Israel first came out of Egypt, they eagerly counted because they were told that on the 50th day they will have this experience of revelation from God. And therefore, that counting had nothing to do with the Omer and the Shtei HaLechem. And according to Rambam, today the mitzvah continues on a Do'oraita level. Be that as it may, they say, when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, a melancholy took the place of the joy, and then mourning. Basically, two main things: the deaths of 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. Most people think it was during the rebellion of Bar Kochva, which was squashed. And also the Crusades were associated with this period of time, even though they weren't exclusively during the Omer period. And both of those added a note of mourning. But in the language of Shulchan Aruch, we should be talking about kitzat avelut, a little bit of mourning. Weddings don't take place, not all the days, but a 33-day period. No hair cutting and shaving, not all the time, just 33-day period. Leniencies here and there for all kind of different things. And I always point, I'm looking at the timer here, so I know that I said I didn't want to get into it, but I am. I always point to the Mishnah Brura, who discusses that a baby who's having a Brit Milah during the Omer, his father, the Sandak, and the Mohel are allowed to take haircuts and shave before the Brit. And because it's their Yom Tov, if that's the case with a Brit Milah of a family's Yom Tov, then we're talking about a Jewish nation who should be celebrating this particular day, even though it's in the middle of the Omer. It becomes a bright spot in the Omer, rather than just a light at the end of the tunnel. And that's it. Now, I need to add the following. Those who defend their anti-state attitude or their non-state attitude and refer to this as Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, which it is, but not Medinat Yisrael, the state of Israel, often defend their position because they point to different flaws in what goes on here. The fact that Shabbat is desecrated in certain segments of the workings of the country is a flaw. It is still the national day of rest. And nobody is forced to work on Shabbat. And most places, many places, are forced to stay closed on Shabbat, facing a fine. But it's not perfect. Okay. So they point to the not perfect part, and they say, look. And I point to the feeling of Shabbat, which starts Friday. The way people shop, I often distinguish between what you can do in outside of Israel. You want to honor Shabbat with flowers, you buy flowers, and you use them for Shabbat. Here in Israel, you buy Shabbos flowers. What's a Shabbos flower? Besides florists, which are open all through the week, there is a mushrooming of flower stands that sprinkle streets that only come out on Friday, selling flowers for Shabbat. I would imagine if you want to buy a flower for a different purpose, you could. But that's not what they're there for. They are Shabbos flowers. And that's the difference. I could go on, which I often do, but I don't want to belabor the point. The statement that I had made, I repeat, I'm not telling people how they should thank God for the state, but I believe that they need to see what the state has accomplished. Exemption, and this is a big issue now, exemption of yeshiva students from the army still continues. It was the original plan and idea of David Ben-Gurion. I heard Rav Goren speaking once, and he said he was at a meeting of generals with David Ben-Gurion. And they were talking about all different kind of aspects of what the state would be like. And Rav Goren was about to propose that yeshiva students be given an exemption from military service. David Ben-Gurion did it. And however this has evolved, the fact remains that religious girls are not drafted into the army or even have to do national service. There's no compulsory there. I think it's a very good idea that girls who choose not to go to the army should serve the country in that program called Shirut Leumi, national service. And that brings an equality kind of thing with all the girls of the country. And guys have a choice of learning Torah and getting an exemption, or learning Torah and then going into the army, or going into an army Torah program, or going into a unit of the army which is religious or ultra-religious. And all of that exists. And that's a wonderful thing also. Only in Israel. Only in the state of Israel. There is more Torah learned in throughout Israel than there is anywhere else in the world, and maybe any other time in history. And that's because of the state. And it goes on and on, but I'll resist the temptation to continue, and I'll move on to other things. Before we move on, I want to tell you that I was thinking of how this show would be. If it's a Yom HaAtzmaut program, there would have been music. But I'm recording it on Yom HaZikaron, and it's during the Omer. And I don't want to play music. And you might be listening to it today, which means that would be good, but if you're listening it to tomorrow, you'll be missing the music. And if you're listening it to afterwards, depending on what you listen to and what you don't listen to, whatever, it's a little messy. I decided right now on one piece, which I'm going to play now, which is a recording of Shai Abramson, who is the chief chazan of the army. He, it's like one of his signature pieces. It's the Misha Berech L'Chayalei Tzahal, which I'm sort of using as a bridge between the day that we honor the memory of the soldiers who passed, who are gone, and we also ask for God's protection of the soldiers who continue to defend the state and its people. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Uyevarech, Et Chayalei, Tzva Hagana, Leisrael, Uyevarech, Et Chayalei, Vahagana Le'Yisrael Uyevarech Et Chayalei Vahagana Le'Yisrael Ha'omdim Al Mishmar Arzeinu Ve'arei Eloheinu Min ha'levanon ve'ad midbar mitzrayim U'min ha'yam ha'gadol ad bo'a rava Ba'yabasha Le'Yisrael
הקמים עלינו ניגפים לפניהם. הקדוש ברוך הוא ישמור ויציל את חיילינו מכל צרה וצוקה ומכל נגע ומחלה, וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשי ידיהם. ידבר שונאינו תחתיהם ויעטרם בכתר ישועה ובעטרת ניצחון, ויקוים בהם הכתוב, כי אדוני אלוהיכם ההולך עמכם להילחם לכם עם אויביכם להושיע אתכם.
That was Shai Abramson. Many other Chazanim and singers also sing it. Many shuls do it either every Shabbat, or they'll say it every Shabbat, and once a month for Chodesh Benching they'll sing it whenever the mood strikes. I have had the privilege of hearing it from Shai Abramson live, because he davens in the same shul that my children in Modi'in davenin. And I've also, last Shabbos, I heard Yaakov Motzen do it, which was beautiful, together with Yitzhak Meir at Renanim. Anyway, for those who don't live here, that's some of the things you're missing. Okay, I guess we covered at least the part that I wanted to. Let's move on a little. And then there's Friday, then there's Shabbat. Shabbat is Parshat Emor. Tomorrow morning we also read the beginning of Emor. In Chutz La'aretz, as we've mentioned last week, they'll be reading Kedoshim. And both work out nicely to be juxtaposed to Yom Ha'atzma'ut. Kedoshim, especially because of the concept of Kedoshim, those who have lost their lives because they were fighting for the Jewish people, or they were Jewish. And Emor, because it contains the portion of the festivals, and this is one of the modern ones, and it's there. Okay. Emor is the K2. Buzz Aldrin, Avis, rent a car. I think that'll be enough. Sedra, as far as mitzvot are concerned, the top mitzvah sedra is Ki Teitzei with 74 mitzvot. Second is Emor with 63 mitzvot. Last week's Kedoshim, or in Chutz La'aretz, this week's Kedoshim, has 51, but it's a much smaller sedra, and it turns out that Kedoshim is the most mitzvah-dense of all sedras, but Emor is no small potato when it comes to mitzvot. Mitzvot in Emor are divided, I would say, broadly into three categories, two big ones and a little one, but the little one is a big one. The first many mitzvot in the sedra deal with Kohanim, Korbanot, Beit HaMikdash, as somebody put it, the sacrificer and the sacrificee. And after speaking about the sanctity of the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol and various things related to it, you then have two mitzvot, a positive and a prohibition, which are two important sides of the same coin. And they are Kiddush Hashem and the opposite, Chilul Hashem. Sanctifying God's name or disgracing his name. This is a very broad mitzvah in what fits into it. When you're talking about the ultimate level, you're talking about, which we've already mentioned, giving up one's life for his religion. In the times of the Middle Ages and other times, sadly, when Jews were faced with forced conversion, many chose to be killed rather than convert, and this was a Kiddush Hashem. But there's more. It doesn't only apply to giving up your life, it applies to how you live your life. If a person behaves, a religious person behaves in such a way that in the eyes of the beholder, there is an admiration for the Torah, which teaches that person how to behave properly, then that's a Kiddush Hashem. And if, God forbid, the behavior causes a spectator to say, oh, how could you be so disgusting? That's what they teach you in yeshiva. That's a Chilul Hashem. When a person throws a candy wrapper on the ground rather than putting it into a wastebasket, he is littering. When a religious Jew, or a seemingly religious Jew, or one that looks at least externally like a religious Jew, throws a paper in the street on the floor, that's a desecration of God's name, in addition to being littering. I remember my father explaining to me why, when I'm on the subway, I should wear a cap rather than a kippah. I always had my kippah under my cap, but he wanted me to wear a cap. And he said, you wear a cap, your behavior will be judged by you as a person. So if you're polite, you'll get a compliment. If you're rude, you will get a dirty look, but it's you. You wear a kippah, it becomes, that's how Jews behave, or, wow, that's how Jews behave. The potential of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. Very important. And I could talk more about that, but let's move on to the next block of mitzvot, which are the portion of the holidays that I mentioned before. You have here the review of Shabbat, at least according to most opinions. And Shabbat earns its title of Rishon Hu L'Mikroi Kodesh, the first of the holy days. We say that in Kiddush. Followed by Pesach, which could be subdivided into the 14th of Nisan, which is the day of the bringing of the Korban Pesach, and then the 15th through the 21st, which are the 7 days of Chag HaMatzot, the festival of Matzah, which we call Pesach. And then you have a discussion of the Omer, and that is followed by mitzvot of the Omer. Excuse me. That is followed by Shavuot, which is then followed by a quick review of something that we actually learned in last week's Sedra, Kedoshim, and that is certain agricultural laws. So the commentaries ask, what are they doing in the middle of the portion of holidays, especially when one Sedra before, that's where they were presented? And the answer is that we're dealing here with gifts to the poor people from the produce of the ground. And we needed a reminder that when we are involved in preparing and observing and celebrating Chagim, we should still keep in mind that there are poor people who need our help to have a festive meal or two or more on Yom Tov and join, as they should, in Simchat Yom Tov. And therefore, the custom to this day is to give extra money, tzedakah, around holiday time, before Pesach, you have two different titles for the funds that are collected. One is Kimcha de Pisco, which means Pesach flour. Literally, it would mean supplying kosher Pesach flour to people to bake matzah. Ma'ot chitin was money for the wheat. But it means providing a contribution so that people will have decent meals and be able to buy clothes for the holiday. That's followed by Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. There's a lot to discuss there, but I'm running down on time, as usual. And I would like to go back to the Yom HaTzma'ut issue for one more comment, one that's not new. Sometime a long time ago, the rabbinate made an official exchange of greetings for Yom HaTzma'ut. One person says to his fellow, Moadim l'simcha, meaning good yontif. The response to that is, Ligu'ula shlema, to the final redemption. This is a recognition that the glass is half full, and if I'm thirsty, I thank you for that half a glass of water, and I do not criticize you for the half of a glass that's empty, but instead I accept it and look forward to your being able to fill the glass to the brim. We have received a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 1948 of a country that has continued to develop and to build in many unbelievable ways, many of which are Kiddush Hashem. Again, I'll say it has its flaws, and we don't have a Beit HaMikdash yet, and we probably don't deserve the Beit HaMikdash yet. And our glass, when I say half, I don't necessarily mean 50%. You could say it's 40%. You could say it's 60%. I don't care what ratio you assign to recognize that the state of Israel is something to thank God for, and at the same time to ask him and to pray that we will continue on the path to the Geula Shlema. If you don't say thank you to this gift, then God says, hey, I gave you something. Why didn't you appreciate it? You want everything right now? Not ready to give it to you. That's my feeling. I hope it strengthened those who share the feeling, and I hope it made people who don't share the feeling think a little bit more. And on that note, I will wish you Moadim l'simcha l'geula shlema, Shabbat shalom, and l'hishtamea. Uven bayah habashah.